Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the episode, do hit that subscribe button. You'll get new interviews just like this one every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence. YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and I do hope you leave a review and a rating wherever you're listening from as well. Those always help out immensely. Of course, we've had some great guests drop by lately, including Zara Larsson, who is just here, the Swedish pop star, to talk about her latest music. Seth MacFarlane, inventor, creator of The Family Guy and American Dad and The Orville and Ted, and he's got a new Frank Sinatra album. We talked with Shirley Manson of Garbage, Mark Hamill about the life of Chuck, and of course some Star Wars as well. Finn Wolfhard of Stranger Things was here, Imperial Teen, Rainer Maria, Ali'i Cravalho, the voice of Moana, Lenny Warrenker, John Densmore of The Doors, Gene Simmons of Kiss, Kevin Bacon, Jennifer Nettles, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a special rewind episode, heading back to 2018 for a pair of interviews, starting with Gary Brooker, the pianist, composer, and unmistakable voice behind Procol Harum, the British rock band whose 1967 debut single, A Whiter Shade of Pale, became a Baroque pop monument and an accidental prom anthem for generations. A classically trained musician with a bluesman's souls, Gary spent 5 decades steering the band through psychedelic rock, orchestral collaborations, and a cult legacy that far outlasted their chart run. And of course, he passed away in 2022. Randy Bachman, my other guest tonight, the Canadian guitarist and songwriter who helped define two separate rock juggernauts. First, with the Guess Who, co-writing staples like These Eyes and American Woman, and then the driving force behind Bachman Turner Overdrive, where Taking Care of Business and You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet became blue-collar anthems. Known for his relentless work ethic and signature power chords, Gary's Rift helped pave the AM dial from Winnipeg to worldwide. Again, both of these interviews done in 2018. So we're going to start with my conversation with the late Gary Brooker of Procol Harum. We spoke just before his passing, just a few years later, about the band's 50-year retrospective, Still, There'll Be More. We talked about the timeless power of A Whiter Shade of Pale and why Procol never quite fits into anyone's box. It's part one of this Rewind special, Kyle Meredith, with Gary Brooker of Procol Harum.
Hello.
Cool new box set, Still There'll Be More, 50 years. 50 years, congratulations.
No, I didn't expect to be here, but there we are.
Yeah, there we are. You know, it's always easy and nice to look back, you know, especially at those beginning years, the late 60s, but 50 years is a long time. I'd sort of wonder, was there an era you thought really didn't get the attention that it deserved? You know, whether that be the 70s, the early 90s, or even the 2000s?
No, I I mean, I think we got plenty of attention when we first started, when with our first few albums. We took a sort of a... We actually retired in 1977, but then sort of had a resurgence, a new spirit, new energy in 1990. You know, and we've been going ever since then, of course. We've been playing mostly live. You know, I think we're only on our third studio album in all that time.
So looking back at this, I mean, does anything sort of jump out as you look at a career expansive set that... That maybe that hadn't been there before, or you just hadn't noticed in a long time?
I think the standout points have always been the standout points, you know, apart from our very rapid start, you know, in 1967. I think that A Salty Dog, well, I think Shine On Brightly and A Salty Dog, you know, went down very well with critics, particularly in America. I think that making the album, or rather recording the concert that we did with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, that was a highlight, both the evening and the fact that it was well appreciated, you know, as an album.
And, you know, looking at these two live albums that are included on here, you know, Hollywood Bowl in 73, the Bournemouth Winter Gardens in 76. What stands out from those? I mean, you got any good backstage stories that you still remember?
Yeah. Well, I do remember that it was with actually the Los Angeles Philharmonic, which it doesn't actually say on our new box set. Yeah. I think they're going to put that right. It was a very interesting concert, you know. I mean, to play with an orchestra in America, I think that was the first time that we'd ever done it. It came when we had a grand hotel out, so it was a good time. And you know, I still think we could play more in America with orchestras. We have done since, with, you know, in the 2000s and that, we played with a few American orchestras, but not that many. They tend to be very separate parts still, you know, very separate rock music from classical music. Hard to get the two together. But if you do need somebody, Procol Harum's the band.
I mean, your songs are built to have an orchestra, and with so many different sounds that you've created over the years, did you ever have trouble fitting in, or did you ever feel that you had trouble fitting in because of so many styles?
I think that if you like Procol Harum, if you buy a Procol Harum album, you don't expect the same thing all the way through. The whole thing about Procol Harum is that it's got a lot of varied styles and techniques and music in it. It's very hard to put it into one little pigeonhole. You know, we don't fit into one box totally at all. The best box for us is always the Procol Harum box.
I just know, you know, the way a lot of people think, the way... you know, and maybe it's more critics than fans, I'll say, but, you know, that you try to put a band in a box, and it seems like you guys were never able to be put in that box.
No, well, I mean, sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. You know, when people are trying to get things into categories and organize it, you know, Procol Harum doesn't fit. It can fit either all of the boxes or none of them. That's the thing. So, you know, it's got its good points and its bad points, but we live with it.
Well, I know a lot of it does come back, you know, to the beginning with A Whiter Shade of Pale. I mean, that song to this day, and I'm sure you get this a lot, I wasn't even there. I wasn't born yet, and I can feel something. To have a song that has that emotion, you know, are you still able to connect with that moment, with that movement within that song?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, more so, as much today, if not more, than ever. It's it always feels fresh to me if I'm singing it and playing it, you know, usually with the band, of course. But I've played it in all sorts of different scenarios as well. But it always feels different, and it always seems to fit. And, of course, it's it has a great effect on an audience as well, even if they weren't born when it came out.
You know, and I look forward a few years later, and, you know, you catch a track like Beyond the Pale. And I'd wondered, did you ever feel like you were trying to get out of the shadow of a song that big, that huge?
That's in the title of the song. It's in the lyrics a little bit, as opposed to music. I mean, musically, it has nothing whatsoever to do with A Whiter Shade of Pale. I've always seen it as being something that inspired musically by something in the remote parts of Northern Europe. But that's another story. But Beyond the Pale is, if we'd have had trouble with getting beyond the V Pale, then it would have started at the moment we'd made it. But I've always looked upon that as a great gift and a you know, extreme privilege that so many people love it. That to me is a big plus.
Well, the box set, of course, you did go with that title, Still There'll Be More. That's a very promising statement right there.
Yeah, we aren't going anywhere yet. Except forward.
Step forward. What's to come? I mean, 2017 had a great album, you know, an album comeback there. Is that still the plans? Do you still want to keep putting out albums?
Yeah. I think we had a long break, you know, between one album and the one we had last year. But it gave us great, well, inspiration and really thought, well, hang on, we should do this more often, you know, not leave it a matter of years before doing something new, but let's get going as soon as we can. And we will, as soon as we've got the moment, we'll get back in and write some more songs and off we go.
Being the lone original member from, you know, that very beginning, does that weight then fall mostly upon to you?
Yeah, it is pretty much being the last man standing, if you like, although, of course, our current Procol Harum has been going for a very long time by any standards, you know. I mean, we re-emerged, if you like, in about 92, and I think we have had a couple of changes in that time, but apart from that, you know, we've been there all the time. Nobody's been in this band less than 10 years, you know. Right. So we're very much a together outfit, you know, we play very well together. And there's everything to look forward to.
Well, I'm grateful that you're still doing it. I enjoyed the record last year. I'm really enjoying this box set. And I want to say, you know, as I'm signing off here, we had a nice moment a couple of years ago when one of our locals, one of our own, Bonnie Prince Billy, got together with Cat Stevens and covered The Devil Came from Kansas.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. That was great.
Nice reintroduction to a song that at the moment I wasn't familiar with, so it was a really cool moment.
Oh, it was very popular from A Salty Dog, that was. It was very popular in the day, you know, on stage and everything. People were always shouting out for Kansas. And, you know, decades later, there comes Cat Stevens, and he must have liked it.
That was a great addition, and thank you so much, Gary. It was a real pleasure talking to you today, and congrats on 50 years in this box set.
Okay.
All right, see you.
Thank you, bye.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, it's Kyle Meredith. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful, personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. And no matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. The entire process is online and remote, so you can start your weight loss journey from the comfort of your home without the hassle of commuting or long wait times. Whether you're in a major city or a small town, you can access top-tier care from licensed professionals at your convenience. So, are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code KMW at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code KMW to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So what are you waiting for? Get started today.
Welcome back. Now, part two of this Rewind special. Part two with Randy Bachman, of course, of the Guess Who, of Bachman Turner Overdrive. In this 2018 interview, we were talking about the album By George, his inventive reimagining of George Harrison classics filled with rearranged melodies, sly tributes, and a surreal phone call from Winnipeg to Friar Park. Part two of this Rewind special, it's Kyle Meredith with Randy Bachman. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Hi, Kyle. I'm great. Nice to talk to you.
This is a really cool new record that you've done here with By George.
Thank you.
If I read correctly, I see that this sort of actually starts with John Lennon, though, right?
Well, I was lucky enough to be invited to Liverpool for John Lennon's 75th birthday. A friend of mine was doing Let It Be there, the stage play, where guys are dressed as the Beatles right from the Black Leathers in Germany right through Sgt. Pepper, right, and then on the roof. And so it's a great stage play, and he was doing it on John Lennon's birthday in Liverpool. So I got invited to that. So as a pure fan, I went and did the tour of Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane and saw Eleanor Rigby's grave, went to the cavern in the Casbah, stayed at the Hard Day's Night Hotel. It was incredible. And then when I came home, I said, gee, George Harrison's turning 75 in a couple of years. I should do something for George Harrison's 75th birthday. And I'd always done the George Harrison songs on stage because mostly guitar players, which is what I was, got to sing the George songs and the drummer got to sing the Ringo songs while the other guys sang the John and Paul songs. And so I just gathered a bunch of George Harrison songs and paid tribute to him as a guitar player and a songwriter to redo the songs in a different style because there's no way I could do it better than George and the Beatles did it or Clapton playing on some of their songs. There's just no way you could surpass that. There's no point in just replicating it, cookie-cuttering it. And so I reinvented them and took the major songs, put them in minor keys, did the slow ones as shuffles, slowed the fast ones down, and just try to honor the songs and got lucky with a couple. Some sank like Lead Weights and no one will ever hear those. And the ones that floated up high and in the sunshine, those are the ones that made the album.
I love how these are flipped because you're right. You hear the melody and you're like, oh, I know this song, but everything else sounds so different. Like, I'd be curious, like, what did you discover or rediscover about these songs that you might not have heard before with these new arrangements?
Well, they last the test of time. That's like 50 years old, some of these songs now. And what I found out is amazing. First of all, I did a lyric sheet for it, and I sent it into the label, and they said, why are you putting in a lyric sheet? Every time we play this album, everybody sings along. Everybody knows every word. So the only lyrics in there are Between Two Mountains, which I wrote to describe the album, and George being in the studio or being in a band between the mountains of Lennon and McCartney. And so it just shows what great songs they are. And I see a lot of people baffled when the song starts. They get into the groove. And then when the singing starts, immediately they sing along right away. So it's a fun thing to sing, get a new record, and you can sing along to it right away.
And that song, Between Two Mountains, stylistically, were you trying to go for sort of a Harrison Beatles sound aside from the lyrics?
I did. And also, those are not typical lyrics I wrote. I was kind of inspired by the spirit of George one night that had me writing about peace within and there's spirit within and all you need is love and that kind of stuff. And then I wrote the song in three different sections. I had three pieces of lyrics that when I put together were very much like a George Harrison song, like My Sweet Lord or something. And I thought, this is really amazing. And then throughout the album, I took George Harrison's guitar licks and sprinkled them on different songs. So if you hear Between Two Mountains, the solo in the middle is what he played in And I Love Her. Simple little guitar thing. Dun, da, da, da. It comes in the middle of In Between Two Mountains. And then in the outro, Think for Yourself, the Beatles version that George wrote and sang with the Beatles, the My Sweet Lord slide guitar licks are put in over Think for Yourself. So there's little tastes of George here and there that are quite surprising. If you're a Beatles fan or a guitar player, at first you don't know where it's from. Then you go, do. Oh, that's My Sweet Lord. But we didn't do My Sweet Lord. Do you know what I mean? So it's a tribute to My Sweet Lord because we couldn't do it. I mean, it's coming out now as a double vinyl album in black and white marble. It's going to run at 45 RPM. It's going to be a collector's item. So it's going to be really great. So I'm really thrilled with the whole thing.
Yeah, and thinking back on it too, I mean, a lot of people get to cover whoever they want to, but not all of those folks were sort of peers of the artist they're covering. And you being, you know, in two of the greatest rock bands of all time, I mean, and one of those being around while the Beatles were still a band, I mean, were they in the peripheral? Was it one of those things where they were always sort of there?
Well, I was like any other band. It changed every band in the world because then you'd have an Elvis or a Gene Vincent or Eddie Cochran up front and backup guys. And suddenly on Ed Sullivan, there was three guys standing up front singing together. And then the drummer sang and the lead guitar player sang and Lennon McCartney traded vocals. That suddenly every band said, we can do that. Ringo's not that great a singer. I'm a drummer. I'm going to sing Ringo songs. So every drummer sang the Ringo songs. Me being lead guitar, I sang the George songs. So I would wait for the next Beatles album and it would come out and between the two mountains of Lennon and McCartney would be this one George Harrison song and I got to sing it. So a lot of these songs are ones I've sang all my life since I saw them on Ed Sullivan and I just reinvented them. So I wasn't just blandly kind of copying them, trying to outdo them because you can't outdo them. The magic that him and Clapton had in some of his songs, Guitar Gently Weeps and things like that, you could never recreate it. So all I could do was, you know, try to do my own and that would maybe stand up next to it.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Randy Bachman.
I know you were in the All-Star Band with Ringo, but did you have any kind of relationship with any of the other Beatles, including George?
No, I spoke to George once on the phone when I left the Guess Who in 1970. I had a press agent named Richie York. He was also the Beatles and John Lennon's press agent, and he worked with Derek Taylor. And when I was done my gallbladder problem, like I was in the hospital after the Guess Who, I had nothing to do, and Richie York called me up, and he said, here's George Harrison's number, give him a call. He's putting together a band. I said, what, are you kidding? And he said, no, I'll tell him I gave your number, and I know he's putting together a band. So I phoned this number, and I'm in Winnipeg. It's about noon, so it's about 6 or 7 at night in England. And I say, hello, this is so-and-so from Winnipeg. And a beautiful voice answered the phone, which I imagine was Patty Boyd, I think. And she said, you're calling from Winnipeg? Is that like where Winnie the Pooh is from? And I go, yeah. She goes, oh, great, George will talk to you. He's in the garden, hang on. So I wait a couple of minutes. She goes and gets George. He comes to the phone, and goes, hello, this is George, you know, the way he talks. And I say, oh, this is Randy Bachman from the Guess Who in Winnipeg. And he said, oh, I saw you on Top of the Pops doing American Woman. It was great. And I said, well, I'm not in the band anymore, and I hear you're starting a band. Richie York gave me your number. And he says, is this, are you calling from where Winnie the Pooh is from? The same thing. And I say, yeah. And he says, well, my best friend plays guitar, Eric. You might have heard of him. Like, it's Eric Clapton. And I say, well, thanks very much. And he says, have a nice life. And I say, good luck on your new band. And then he goes on with his new band. And I go on with my band, which becomes Bachman Turner Overdrive, right? And I saw the movie Christopher Robin over Christmas, and there's an actual plaque they show to Winnie the Pooh being from Winnipeg.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, you've always got Winnie the Pooh on your side, if nothing else.
I know, yeah, exactly.
Well, I know this gives you a chance to get away from your own material, but is there anything else you're working on, original-wise?
Well, people are already asking, is there going to be a follow-up to By George? And I'm going, well, I could have George II, who was the king before Queen Elizabeth, who's the queen right now. I could call an album George II and put a coin on with George Harrison's head on the coin, give away coins, right? I thought, well, that would be kind of not, that would not be right. I just got to leave this one the way it is. And so I have another album planned. If Universal asks me to do another album, I have another album planned that's going to be another wonderful tribute to a musical genre. My last album was called Heavy Blues, and it was a tribute to the power trios from England, Cream, Hendrix, The Who, and Zeppelin, who all were paying tribute to the American blues guys, like Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and stuff. And so that was my previous album a couple of years ago called Heavy Blues. And I've done the thing with George, and now I've got another one planned. If somebody wants an album out, I'm happy to do an album. I'm happy to keep going, let me put it that way. Yeah. If you call me with a gig offer, I'll take the gig.
I love what you're doing, Randy. It's been so much fun to talk with you here. Thanks for this record, and I'll look forward to hoping that someone picks you up for that, takes you up on that offer there.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Right. And there you go. My thanks to the late Gary Brooker. My thanks to Randy Bachman. My thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can get all my new episodes that we put out every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And again, please do give this series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from right now. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. Right to a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, music news. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from Bob Dylan, Dolly Parton, The Beatles, Tom Petty, Ramones, Tom Waits, S.G. Goodman, Spoon, Elvis Costello, Bobby Bear Jr., Better Than Ezra, Blur, and my interview with Noddy Holder of Slade. That's what you can hear weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.